Tammy said, I texted, Brad said he's feeling better. Texted Tammy today. She's apparently been pretty rough, but she said today she had more energy. Just out. Tiffany's out because of that. So Tracy's gone to Florida. So anyhow, four of them out. So we will review a little bit. We're real quick through these, like I did last time. It's got to get us caught up. At the crucifixion, of course, the veil from the temple was rent from top to bottom, exposing and opening up access to the most holy place. We talked about that quite a bit. Other miracles that went on with the earthquake, the darkness, the rock split, tombs were open, people came out, went to the city that had been dead before. Then the centurion said, truly this was the Son of God. We asked the question, what made this Roman make such a statement? And why didn't he say, just read the inscription off the top, and say, you know, truly this was the King of the Jews. That's not what he said. Truly this was the Son of God. So he had heard something, knew something from before. So same, Satan wins now. Jesus is dead. It's over. Satan wins. Go back to Genesis 3:15 and what Satan would do based on that all the way back there. But history doesn't end there, so we keep going. The Jews don't want the bodies left on the crosses for the Sabbath. It should be the next day. They're crucified, die late on Friday. So Pilate sends the soldiers to break their legs, which we talked about what that would do in their crucifixion process to make them die. When they got there, Jesus was dead already. The spear through his side, they're making sure he was dead. There's no swooning, as the word has been used, that he was almost kind of dead, but came back to life. Joseph and Nicodemus, two members of the Sanhedrin, then step up and come, and Joseph asks Pilate for the body, takes it down, and Nicodemus brings the spices, and they put it in a nearby tomb, a tomb that had never been used before, so there's no other body in there. The only one was put in there was Jesus. When it was empty because Jesus is the one that came out. And then the ladies are coming then on Sunday morning for spices to anoint the body. And that's what we'll get into tonight. Who's going to roll away the stone for them? So Pilate seals it. So it's going to be a whole issue tonight when it comes to rolling away the stone. Who's going to do it for us? Well, Pilate had sealed it because didn't want the disciples to come and steal the body. There's a Roman guard posted to make sure they don't come to that. So everything now ceases because the Sabbath day is coming up next. Two places that are looked at for the place of the crucifixion. For a long time, I think the one at the top, called the Garden Tomb, thought this one more so now. I'll talk about it. But we looked at this, the Garden Tomb, standard thing you see a lot of times when you think about the burial place. Now, go back to this one a minute and look where this is located. See the temple? Well, now the Dome of the Rock sits on top of that. The big gold-looking dome you see when you look at it sits here. All right, this is east of that. So watch this slide right here. Here's the Dome of the Rock here. This is the Church of the Holy Sepulchre that sits on top of what is thought to be the place where the crucifixion and burial really are. This kind of supersedes, from what I understand by most scholars, excluding the scholar Steve Klein, this is where they can be, that one. Tombs, something like this, these are above ground, but you're going to see one down below ground, a picture Steve took a little later on. But it'll be tombs more like this, not one like the ground. So we'll get into tonight's lesson. I got a little picture or two of the tomb, and I'll talk more about that. So we are now coming out of the last week period, of the periods of the life of Christ, the seven, down to the last one, the resurrection and exaltation. So tonight we get into the resurrection. Christ didn't stay in the tomb. Christ is raised. So very early on the first day of the week, there's a great earthquake. Angel descends from heaven, appearance like lightning, clothing white as snow. And Cal comes and rolls back the tomb with a stone. Well, I'm having a hard time tonight. Rolls back the stone and sat on it. Matthew 28, first two verses. And we're in the last chapter almost of every of the Gospels. John, I think, being the exception. After the Sabbath, first day of the week began to dawn. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb. There was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Matthew 28, 1 and 2. Second earthquake. Earthquake back at the crucifixion. Another earthquake now. So Christ is risen. Tomb is going to be empty. We'll look at it in a minute. For right now, the angels come, roll back the stone. He's sitting on the stone. What about the Roman guard? Well, they fainted with fear. Matthew 28, verse 4. The guard shook for fear and became like dead men when the angel came and the earthquake occurred. We don't have a lot of details about the resurrection. What can you say other than he came out and the tomb is empty? The big thing is what's going to be preached all through Acts. And if you go through Acts and just look at it, starting here in Acts chapter 2, you've taken by lawless hands, Peter telling the Jews, him, Jesus, you've taken by lawless hands, crucified, put him to death, whom God raised up. And you see that phrase all through Acts, multiple times, whom God raised up, whom God raised up. You crucified, God raised up. You crucified, God raised up. Till you get to Acts chapter 10, which is with Cornelius, and it's not you crucified, it's then they crucified, the Jews, and God raised him up. So that's what's preached over and over and over. God raised him up. That's the key point of the resurrection. So the Sabbath's over, and now it's early on the first day of the week. So the women come to anoint the body with more spices, and they wonder, who's going to roll away the stone for? If you remember, the women were there at the crucifixion, and they watched to see what they were going to do with the body. So they knew where the body was, in that tomb. You go back to some of the stuff last time. So they're wondering, who's going to roll away the body? And there's nothing said that they ask anything about the Roman guard that was there, or the seal on it. They're just worried about getting the stone rolled back. So Mark 16, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Salome, brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. They said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb? So who's going to roll it back? When they arrived at the tomb, there's no Roman guards. We'll talk about them more just in a minute. And the stone is taken away. And this is a typical looking tomb with a stone cover. We've got a couple more pictures of a typical looking thing where the stone would roll across the door. The stone is gone. In this case, Mary Magdalene goes to tell the disciples about it. There are two men there in white apparel, and one of them is sitting on the stone. So you would think maybe the stone is laid down to sit on it. Don't know. So you go to Luke 24. I know we bounce it around a lot, but picking it up. First day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices, which they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in and did not find the body of Jesus. It happened when they were greatly perplexed about this. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? So here's another picture of a stone. So it's kind of encased to roll back to cover the opening to the grave. This is more of a plug. I'll show you this one because I'm going to show you the tomb picture Steve took of what's thought to be near the tomb of Jesus. It's going to be more, you would think, something like this. So I don't know if a Greek word for rolled could be, you know, move, slid, whatever. I don't know, but it seemed like it would slide in. So this is the garden tomb we're used to looking at. This is a picture taken by Steve down under the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, where I showed you a while ago. That's the more prominent place now for where the burial was. Steve described this, said it's a tomb in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is described as being Jesus' neighbor's tomb. So tomb nearby, very nearby where the tomb, they think the tomb is. And now it's down below ground because it's Jerusalem's been destroyed multiple times. The debris covered up. So you have to go down to get to the layer where this is actually a picture taken by. So, women are there. One of the men speaks and tells them that Jesus is not there. He is risen. It reminds them that Jesus told the disciples early on what's going to happen. Go back to Luke chapter 9. So we're backing up several chapters back. If we remind them of this, the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, be killed, be raised the third day. Jesus had told them that. In fact, he had told them that multiple times. Well, now the angel is reminding them of that, what Jesus said, he would be raised. He had told them that. So Luke 24, starting in verse 6, he is not here, but risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was with you in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered to the hands of sinful men, be crucified the third day, and rise again. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11. So they're going back now and telling the others. The women remembered what they were told. So they go back and tell Peter and the others that Jesus would meet them in Galilee and see them there. So now, we need to stop just a minute and think. What's the emotion going through these women's minds as they are there at the tomb and it's empty and they don't know where Jesus is and there's somebody there saying he's risen. He's not here anymore. Fear? Amazement? Joy? I don't know what else to put up there. Let me read you two or three verses. From Mark 16, verse 5. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Matthew 28:8. They went out quickly from the tomb, and fear and great joy ran to bring the disciples' word. Luke 24:4. It happened that they were greatly perplexed about this. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid, bowed their faces to the earth, said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" So all kind of emotions are going through their minds as they know they saw him on, you got to keep this in your mind, they know they saw him on the cross, they know they saw him crucified, they probably were there and saw him pierced with the Roman spear, because they were there and knew where he was buried. And now they go to that tomb, and there's two angels there, two men in white apparel, saying, "He's not here. He told you he's going to rise from the dead, and he did. He'll see you in Galilee. He's not here." Got to be some high emotions going on, trying to figure out what's really going on. So Mary Magdalene goes back and tells Peter and John, and says they've taken the Lord, and we don't, notice this, we don't know where they've laid him. What does that indicate? They think somebody has moved him from one place to another where they've laid him. They still don't get the fact he's alive, risen from the dead. We don't know where they've laid him. So Peter and John take off, and they go toward the tomb to see what they can find. John stops and then go in. Peter comes along behind him because John outran him to get there. And Peter goes in, and then John goes in behind him. And they see the grave clothes there, and the cloth is across his face, separate from the others, neatly folded there at the tomb. I'm going to take time to read it. If you look at John 20, the first 10 verses, it's what tells about this, what they just seen, the handkerchief been around his head, not lined with linen cloth, folded into a place by itself. Verse 8, the other disciple, John, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not know the scripture, he must rise from the dead. All the disciples went to their own houses. They go home. They see the angel. I don't know. Nothing said about Peter and John seeing them. But the verse I just read you, John saw and believed. So they leave the tomb. What's going through Peter and John's mind? We don't know. It's so different for us looking back on it. You're there, living it. It happened. What's going through your mind? So after the resurrection, there are a number of appearances to various ones of the disciples and others. Paul recounts a lot of this in 1 Corinthians 15, first several verses. We're going to look at two of them tonight, and then next week we'll get into the more lengthy ones, the road to Emmaus and some of those others. So Mary Magdalene goes back to the tomb, and the two appearances, to Mary Magdalene, the other women, and then the ones in Great Olivet we'll see next time. So Mary Magdalene goes back to the tomb, and the angels ask her why she's weeping. After all, what has she been told? He's risen from the dead. Like, why are you weeping? They've taken him. I don't know where they laid him. Still hasn't understood it. So Jesus is behind her, and well, I just talked about it in the last slides in John 20, verses 11 through 13. Why are you weeping? They take him away, don't know where they laid him. So Jesus is behind her and speaks to her, and she doesn't recognize him. She thinks he's the gardener, somebody that's just there behind her. So he calls her by name, does, and then she realizes who it is. So he tells her, go tell the others. So she goes back and says, I have seen the Lord. So apparently she was the first one to actually see Jesus alive. This is John 20, 14 through 18. She turned around and saw Jesus standing there. Didn't know it was Jesus. Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking? Thought he was the gardener. Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you put him. He said to her, Mary. She turned and said, Rabboni, teacher. He told her, do not cling to me. I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go tell the brethren, tell them, I am sending to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and he has spoken these things to her. So now somebody has actually seen him and talked to him after the resurrection. So some of the other women go to the tomb. Jesus greets them. They fall at his feet, worshiping him. He again tells them, go tell the disciples, the others, to go to Galilee. I'll see you there. And now there's joy. They're beginning, I think, seem to catch on to it. So from Matthew 28, starting in verse 5, the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. And he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. Go quickly and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he's going before you to Galilee. You'll see him there. Behold, I have told you. So they went out and quickly from the tomb, and fear with great joy ran and brought the word to the disciples. Okay, I've been rattling a lot. If I got thoughts up to now, we're going to deal with these Roman soldiers. The actual resurrection, his appearance. I'm zipping through stuff pretty fast, finished early. Okay, these Roman guards, they were stunned, fell back as dead men earlier. We mentioned that. Well, now they've realized what's happened, okay, that Jesus, the stone's rolled back, the seal is broken, the stone rolled back, and Jesus is gone. He's not there. So they go tell the chief priests and the rulers. And you got to think about, okay, what are they thinking? Their worst fear has now come to pass because they were afraid all along the disciples would come and steal the body and say he had risen. So that's exactly what looks like it happened. So they told this Roman soldier, you're to say someone stole the body while we slept. Well, that's a pretty heavy thing to think if you think about Roman soldiers sleeping while they're on duty. That's going to mean death for them probably. So they bribe them and say, we'll give you money. We'll give you money and we'll take care of Pilate. We'll cover things up with him. So that's exactly what word went out. The disciples came and stole the body. That's what they're doing. So back to Matthew 28 again. While they were going, behold, some of the guards came into the city and reported to the chief priests the things that happened. When they assembled the elders and consulted together, they gave them large sums of money to the soldiers, saying, tell them his disciples came at night and stole them away while we slept. If this comes to the governor's ears, we'll appease him and make you secure. We'll take care of you. So they took the money and did as they instructed. And look at the last part of verse 15. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. The time Matthew was writing, that's still the common thought that was out, that Jesus came and the disciples came and stole the body. It was reported by the Jewish leader. After all, which is easier to believe? A man literally risen from the dead, or the disciples stole a body to make it look like it happened? Which one would you believe if you were an average Jew? Well, it's pretty easy to get somebody to believe the second one. Nobody's going to believe the first one. Well, they might if they saw Lazarus. So now, think about Peter's sermon 50 days from now, Acts chapter 2. He's going to accuse them of this heinous crime of killing the one that God raised up. Acts chapter 2, verse 23. Him, Jesus, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by lawless hands have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible he should be held by it. Verse 32, this Jesus God has raised up, of which we're all witnesses, because they have seen him more since then than what we are now. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you see and hear. That would be the speaking in tongues. So Peter's going to preach just 50 days later, you killed him lawlessly, and God raised him up. Okay, to be very honest, think about it. At this point, not looking back from 2,000 years later, if you were there at this point, do you believe he had been raised from the dead? Yourself in place of these disciples. Now Mary does because she's seen him and spoken to him. And she's told the others, but it's evident most of them didn't believe her, not start with. So what would you believe right now? Would you believe he rose from the dead? What'd she ask? Tell me where you've laid him, where have you moved him to? Peter and John, the other apostles. Remember they went home, went back to their houses. Sure exactly what that means because they were from Galilee and they go back to Galilee. Are you there, but they go back to their houses? You haven't seen him yourself. Word is spreading that you took the body and did something with it. You stole the body. That's what everybody's saying. That's what all your neighbors believe. Well, you know you didn't. So what do you believe in? It's going through your mind if you're there. Three passages we'll look at right quick. I'll finish up what I've got. From Mark 16, starting at verse 9. When he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. When they heard that he was alive, had been seen by her, they did not believe. Verse 11. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went to the country. They went and told the rest, but they did not believe them either. Verse 13. And later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at table. Those more next. Luke 24, verse 9. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. Luke 24, verse 11. And then from John 20, verse 27, this is a little later on, after he had appeared, we'll get this next time, after he appeared to the apostles, and Thomas was not there, now Thomas is there. He said to Thomas, reach your finger here, look at my hands, reach your hand here, put it to my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered, said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Thoughts? Where we are? Anybody? Okay. A couple of points right quick. If you're teaching someone, where are you going to start? Of course, it all depends, I know, on the person and what they know and what they don't know and whatever. But it's a couple of thoughts. Of course, from Acts chapter 8, Philip with the eunuch. Who's the prophet? Say this about himself or another man. Philip opened his mouth, began this scripture, did what? Preach Jesus to him. When he did that, what's it going to include? The death, burial, the resurrection. Preach Jesus to him. These very things we're talking about here. And then next time we'll get about the men going to Emmaus, and Jesus appeared along and going with them. And they're talking about what's been going on. Jesus acts like he doesn't know what's going on, and they start explaining to him. So verse 27, this is Luke 24, verse 27. Jesus, beginning at Moses and the prophets, expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What scriptures would that be? Old Testament, right? Beginning at Moses and the prophets, expounded to them all the things in the scripture. We don't have a New Testament concerning himself. So when he's telling them, explaining to them what's been going on in Jerusalem, this thing they're talking about as they go along the road, he goes back to Moses and the prophets and tells all the things about that they said about him. And when I made this slide up a long time ago, that was our theme of the loss. 3 years back or 6 years back, it's been 3 years like, I would imagine. And that's what I've got. So now you've got to talk. Tim, if you want to stop it, you can. I'll turn this off. Or we'll feel that talk.